Look how it ends. It says, verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And watch this. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. What's he mean? He's saying he could come at any moment for his people, his servants. He could come at any moment. He makes a difference between him coming for his servants and him coming back to kill people. Right. Jesus makes the difference. So should we. Now, I want to say this and we'll look at it. We're going to look. The Lord raises the possibility of his coming in the second and third watches, which would be the rapture, as opposed to the fourth watch. He speaks of coming in the fourth watch. But he also speaks of a different coming in the second or third watch. In Mark 6:48, it says, and he saw them toiling and raining. Remember, we just read this. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Almost every commentary you read will say this is a type of the second coming. He comes to them. We're talking about Jews in tribulation and the fourth watch. But when he talks about coming for his servants, he says it could happen anytime. And blessed are those who he finds watching when he comes. There's a difference between the any moment rapture and references to the fourth watch into the tribulation return of Jesus. We have, like I said, the whole message on it. And that only holds possible if the rapture and the return are separate events. And they are. Man, I just love some of these. I want to show you a couple of them. But that's rapture. The rapture is imminent. The dead in Christ arise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture is imminent, but the return is sudden. See? Difference. People confuse it. They act like it's the same thing, and it's not. The rapture is any moment. The return is sudden. Why? Because the people who are left there, they're not walking around with Bibles and having Bible study. They just know that the world's coming to an end. They know God is behind it. And then the world's just going into chaos. There's world war. Everything's going on. And suddenly out of the sky comes Jesus and an army on white horses. That's the difference. Now, you hear people talk about the secret rapture. And I just want to clarify this. The only thing secret about the rapture is that Jesus is not visibly seen by everyone as he will be at his return. Another difference. The rapture just says he's in the air and we meet him in the air. The return, every eye sees him. And then he lands on the Mount of Olives. Doesn't happen at the rapture. That's why it's been called secret rapture by people through the years, and that's why I don't really use the phrase because I don't like it. I think it causes some misunderstanding. But look what he says in Luke 12:39. And this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Now we can talk about that in the sense of being at home and having your home broken in. That's why there are people all over the country without a gun, and anybody can walk into their house at any time and rip them off. And they think they're going to fight them off with a ball bat, and the guy's got a 9mm. You're not going to win that fight. And I believe the Bible over and over tells us that we should defend our homes. We should have self-defense. And he says, the good man in the house, had he known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Why? He'd have been facing him with a shotgun. That's why. Amen. Well, we know Jesus returned 7 years after the covenant is confirmed between Antichrist, Israel, and the nations. What we don't know is exactly when the rapture is going to take place. Now, parents can identify well. The kids should be able to identify with this too. You ever told your kids you're going to be home at 1 and then come back at noon? And walk in and find something going on ought not be going on? See, that's what he's talking about. If you're looking for him at the end of the tribulation, you're going to live like it. And when he comes back, he's going to catch you doing something or doing nothing. either way ought not be done. That's what he's saying. Now, that's a repeat. Luke 12:40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Luke 12:40. The very fact we don't know when means that it could be any moment. That is imminence. And it's not at the end of a 7-year period. Or it wouldn't be any moment, and it wouldn't be imminence. This is a quote from a man who isn't even a Christian. And he studied Christian history. And so, you know, sometimes a hostile witness, they call it, a hostile witness will give you the best testimony because he doesn't have a dog in the, or a pony in the race, as they say. He says, quote, in the history of Christianity, three main forces are found to have acted as auxiliaries to the gospel. Meaning, this is what caused Christians to go around the world preaching the gospel. They have elicited the ardent enthusiasm of men whom the bare preaching of the gospel would never have made decided converts. They like going into places where they're cannibals. Says these include a belief in the speedy return of Christ and in His glorious reign on earth. First in point of time came the faith in the nearness of Christ's second advent and the establishing of His reign of glory on the earth. Indeed, it appears so early, listen to this, indeed it appears so early that it might be questioned whether it ought not to be regarded as an essential part of the Christian religion. End quote. What's he saying? Christians have always looked for Jesus to come at any moment. It's as Christian as the Bible itself. It's as Christian as the gospel. It's always been a fundamental, foundational tenet of believers. They've looked for Jesus to come at any moment. And that's a guy named Adolf Harnack who wasn't even a Christian. He just read the history and said, these people always look for Jesus to come at any moment. And that's what motivated them to go around the world preaching the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man come. That's imminence. Any moment. You don't know when. You do if it's at the end of the tribulation. Any and all references to the Lord coming in an hour as ye think not teaches imminence. One last quote I want to use. This is by Dave Hunt. He's written a lot of good stuff. And he said, he was asked about this on his radio program, and I had the transcript. And he says, quote, now, if he doesn't come until the end of the Great Tribulation, this doesn't fit at all. There is a coming at the end of the Great Tribulation when he comes with power and glory to rescue Israel in the midst of Armageddon. You could never imagine that that was at a time when no one would expect him. There would be nothing else to expect. End quote. In other words, it's just not logical to not expect him now and to think that everybody's not going to be expecting him at the end of the tribulation period. He says in Matthew 24:48-49, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. Now I want you to look at that closely. He calls this person an evil servant who says in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now, I'm going to talk about something else in a minute, but it's just a historic fact. Church history here. All groups who reject the imminent return of Jesus Christ, the rapture, become Nicolaitan. They become authoritarian, and they eventually persecute both those looking for the any moment rapture and the Jews. Read your history. Every group, the Roman Catholic Church, they persecuted all believers who look for the imminent rapture and the Jews. Look at the Orthodox churches, the Eastern Orthodox churches. They persecute to this day. A lot of people don't know it's going on because it doesn't get in the news. To this day, the Eastern Orthodox churches are persecuting Bible believers who are looking for the rapture, and they persecute the Jews. The mainline Protestant churches, the liberals around here, they all persecute. They claim that we're a bunch of extremists and radicals. We've had them try to get us kicked out of this building. Why? Do you see that crazy stuff they believe? I was like, what is that? Oh, you know about the rapture and end times and all that. They accuse us of wanting war in the Middle East. They accuse us of trying to instigate war and wanting to elect people who will instigate war in the Middle East because they don't know what we believe. And they accuse us of wanting war because that'll somehow cause the Lord to come back sooner. That's only true of people who believe the post-trib, by the way. That's not true of us. There's no signs left. We can go at any moment. But because they don't really know what we mean. I'm talking about the queers writing about this stuff. I'm reading a book by some homo named Bauer. And he's in that book, he's claiming to explain the influence of what he calls dispensational Christianity, that believe in the rapture, and he totally doesn't know what we believe. He's constantly giving wrong information to people about what we believe, and that's what you'll find. Most of these people, they either purposely misrepresent what we believe or they don't know what we believe to begin with. And they make those false accusations. Homeland Security, the Pentagon, it's in our military who say that people like us are a terror threat. Why? Because that's what they always do. When they reject the imminent return of Jesus Christ, they begin to persecute those who believe in Jesus coming back at any moment. 2,000 years of church history behind it. Read Augustine. Augustine persecuted Bible believers because he rejected the rapture. Titus 2, 11 and 12. You want to turn there. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, I'd recommend it. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the Antichrist, so that we can be prepared to survive the great tribulation. No. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Ask you a question. Will you obey that? Will you wake up tomorrow morning looking for the rapture? Will you wake up tomorrow morning praying for the rapture? Praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's the biblical prayer, but people who reject the pre-trib rapture don't pray that way. They don't pray that way. Why? They don't believe what the Bible says about Him coming any moment. Dear Lord, please come in 7 years. What I've asked the people who reject the pre-trib rapture is to be honest enough to pray honestly. Pray honestly. Dear Lord, I really would like to go to heaven. Could you please send the Antichrist? That's exactly what they ought to pray. We're supposed to love His appearing, but if He's not coming till the end of the tribulation, dear God, send the beast. Now, am I wrong?
No.
I mean, if let's say as a church we decide, you know what, we're going to junk this whole pre-trib rapture thing. Let's go with the post-trib. Okay? Want to do that? All right, so let's start praying with knowledge. And let's start praying honestly. Dear God, send the beast. Dear God, we pray that any moment a man of sin who will be filled with Satan will begin to slaughter people and decapitate us. If you're going to be honest, that's how you pray if you reject the imminent rapture of the church. Don't find any of those prayers in the Bible. I already said that. I'm going to go on. 1 John 3 is the point, really. All right, I'll say this. What we've been learning is just doctrinal fact, but now we're going to put it in practical terms. These are truths for daily living. What was it, Lori? Here is your positive thought for the day. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, he says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we," didn't say everybody, "we shall see Him as He is." Now look at this. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." What's the point? The point is, you want to know why the church has become so carnal, fleshly, self-centered, worldly, wanting preachers to tell them how beautiful they are and how wonderful they are and how the... there goes another rubber tree plant. You know, that's their praise songs. I mean, you read the lyrics to their praise and worship. That's what they ought to just sing, you know. It's because they're not looking for Jesus to return. You go to those churches, no one walks in and says, "Oh, the Lord may come today. Bless God." You know what they'll tell you? "I hope not. There's a lot of things I really want to do on down here. Yep. I haven't had kids yet. And I want to buy a house. I've never bought a house before. And I really want a boat. And if I can do all that and retire first and then Jesus comes, I'll be okay with that." I'm not making that up. That's what they say. I'm here to tell you, I'm sorry. I know that, especially the young kids, I've told my girls, you know, you may think that way. You know, I'm sure the thought, but you should rebuke the thought. The moment you're raptured and in the presence of the Lord, you ain't going to give a rip about the fact you didn't have a boat. But when you are not filled with the words of God and not believing them as they're taught, these words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life, Jesus said. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Stop flopping around on the ground and speaking in gibberish. Get filled with God's book. And when you get filled with God's book, you are being filled with His Spirit when you believe it. And then you'll be a Spirit-filled Christian, and it'll make a difference in your life. And that's why Philippians 3:20, he says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for," right now, here and now, as he's writing this, Paul says, "we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if Jesus wasn't coming at any moment, he would say, "We look for the Antichrist so that he can get this thing going." Get on, brother. Bring on the Antichrist. We want to go home. I'm not saying he didn't say that exactly. That's my paraphrase. But that's kind of what he would say. He says, what's going to happen? "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." He's going to rapture you. He's going to give you a glorified body. And then He's going to sit back for 7 years with the saints, judge the saints, have the marriage supper celebration, and then He's going to come back and subdue all things unto Himself. Amen. I'm not going to glory in the death of all those people, but I am going to glory in His victory. Amen. So, closing thought is this. Look for Jesus at any moment. Don't allow this modern unbelief to distract you. Period. Look for Jesus at any moment. Forget anybody, anything who tells you not to. I'm not saying they're of the devil. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed, although that might be true, because some of them are. But anybody who wants to make you believe that Jesus may not come in the next moment is being used as an evangelist for Lucifer. Anybody who wants you to think that you are not facing Jesus at any moment, possibly in the rapture, is being used as an agent of Lucifer to cause you to be lukewarm. Rick Warren, agent of Lucifer. Amen. Tony Jones, Brian McLaren, Tony Campolo, all these emergent church teachers are agents of Lucifer. They have been sent to kill the church. And I don't care who it is, you turn them on the radio, you turn them on the TV, you buy their books, and if they tell you not to expect Jesus at any moment, they are agents of Lucifer. God's word's clear. There's no video. I don't know why it says that.
Enoch was a man who walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. God said to me, not come on home with me, it's time to go. Enoch had a great grandbaby boy, his name was Noah, he built the ark. God said to Noah, now come inside, it was saved, but the rest all died. We heard the rumble of the thunder of the coming storm. Thunder of the coming storm of God's judgment in the distance. We live in days when they call evil good, working pleasure, pride, they just live a lie. We must learn to walk with God like Enoch did, because it's almost time. And you hear the rumble of
steal, they cheat and lie for wealth and want it will buy. But don't they know on the judgment day that gold and silver will melt away? I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and lose my soul. What good is gold and silver too, if your heart's not pure and true? Oh, sinner, hear me when I say, fall down upon your knees and pray. I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and lose my soul. I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and lose my soul.